We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
My friends, a long time ago, when God through the prophet declared, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number," Jeremiah 2:32, there was a significant meaning to that statement. It is hardly likely that a maid shall forget her ornaments or a bride forget her attire. But there is an adornment significant of a spiritual wedding that has often been tragically forgotten. You may be sure that God, a principle in this wedding, has not forgotten, but the bride too often has forgotten her attire. The happy bride, no doubt, will always remember the time and the place, and that special ornament, perhaps a ring that was placed on the finger, with a pledge of love and devotion never to cease. Still more significant, the bride's attire, the wedding garments, are cherished as precious memories to those whose marriage has been a blessed event. God, through the prophet, declared that that is hardly likely to be that a maid will forget her ornaments, or the bride forget her attire. Yet his people had forgotten him days without number. According to the Bible, Israel was spiritually married to God, and the law of Moses was the marriage contract between them. Jeremiah 3:14 and Romans chapter 7 and the first four verses. This is what the apostle said about the matter to the Romans. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while the husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." The apostle affirmed that the Jews were one time spiritually married to God. While married to God, Israel had forgotten her vows and her obligations, having committed spiritual adultery. The maid could hardly forget her ornaments, nor the bride forget her attire. Yet God's people, even then, forgot him days without number. Israel was guilty of playing the part of a harlot with many lovers. The prophet declared, "But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return unto me, saith the Lord." Jeremiah 3, verse 1. Jehovah was greatly concerned because Israel had forsaken God, having backslidden into wickedness. The Lord announced, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Jeremiah 2, verse 13. God charged the leaders of the day, the priests, the pastors, and the prophets, with having committed adultery, having perverted the word of the Lord, propagated false teaching, thereby leading God's people astray. In this adulterous state, the prophets and priests strengthened the hands of evildoers, the prophet said in Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. To the apostles said to the Romans, in verse 4 of chapter 7, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead." Surely there can be no doubt about the inference proclaimed by the apostle in this text. Israel, who was one time spiritually married to God, was now free to marry again, spiritually of course, without being in spiritual adultery, because the law had been removed by reason of the death of Christ. When Christ died on the cross, the law became dead. The apostle wrote, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Colossians 2, verse 14. In Ephesians 2, 14 and 16, the same apostle affirmed, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make of himself twain one new man, so making peace, but he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. By reason of the death of Christ, those Jews who were previously spiritually married to God are now become dead to the law by the body of Christ. But, as Paul said, ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead. For them, it was a second marriage, but not a state of adultery. Now, both Jew and Gentile, members of one body, the Lord's church, are spiritually married to Christ. Before the consummation of the marriage between Christ and his church, there was the betrothal. In his letter to the Corinthian church, Paul wrote, "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you a chaste virgin to Christ." 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. Through the gospel of Christ, the apostle had proclaimed the love of God and the love of Christ for his church, his bride. My friends, I say, are you listening? Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride forget her attire? How important it is for the bride's attire to be remembered, never to be forgotten, never to be defiled. In becoming a Christian, being spiritually married to Christ, there must be the adornment of the doctrine of Christ, the adornment of the garments of truth and righteousness. Of the attire, Paul wrote these words, "that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Titus 2, verse 10. Without the adornment of the doctrine of Christ, no man does have this fellowship with God or with Christ. In 2 John 9, it is revealed, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Is the bride's attire being forgotten today? There is no attire to replace sound doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. Paul charged Timothy to preach the word, declaring that the time would come when there would be those who would not endure sound doctrine, and because of itching ears, they would turn away their ears from the truth. 2 Timothy 4 and verses 2 through 4. It is only the truth that makes men free. John chapter 8. Verse 32, it is only the gospel of Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, verse 16. The recitation of nursery rhymes and bedtime stories, the quotations of poems and philosophy of mortal men, a dissertation on psychology and mental health, a generalized apologetic sermon is not going to Christ. Today, as always, there is a need for the preaching of sound doctrine. Yes, the plain, positive, old Jerusalem gospel that brings conviction to those who hear. Have we forgotten the bride's attire, the adornment of the doctrine of Christ? Have we forgotten, say, Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38? Is it too old-fashioned to preach the great, simple, positive, spirit-filled, regenerating sermon that brought conviction to some 3,000 people who were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Have we forgotten that those 3,000 souls gladly received the Word of God? Have we forgotten that it was the preaching of sound doctrine that caused this great number of people to adorn themselves with the bride's attire? You and I can be adorned with the bride's attire if we're willing to obey the teaching of Jesus Christ. Have you been scripturally baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? Are you walking in the light of God's Word? What about your relationship with the Lord?
Ladies and gentlemen, centuries ago, the prophet spoke these words from God. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Jeremiah 2, verse 32. God was greatly concerned when Israel forgot the bride's attire. He charged that the priests and prophets were guilty of adultery by walking in lies, compromising and perverting his word, all of which strengthened the hands of evildoers. How true this must be even today. When teachers and preachers compromise the doctrine of Christ, they have indeed strengthened the hands of evildoers. What a tragedy to forget the bride's attire. Improper attitude,
and with proper attire, with the adornment of the doctrine of Christ, the sincere penitent believer is totally committed to the Lord. He surrenders his life to Christ to love, honor, and obey the Lord throughout life. The day of the origin of the Lord's church, some 3,000 souls were spiritually united with Christ when, in obedience to the gospel of Christ, they were baptized for the remission of sins, as you read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. They were added to the church, Acts 2, verse 47. One is not spiritually married to the Lord until the relationship is changed. Paul affirms the relationship is changed when one is, quote, baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27. By the authority of the Lord, the betrothed believer who pledges his enduring faith in Christ, the Son of God, is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19-20. Being joined to the Lord by the divine ceremony and act of faith, being baptized into Christ, the marriage is consummated and the new relationship with Christ is now experienced as a member of the Lord's body, His church. The church of our Lord is spiritually married to Christ, and every child of God should be deeply concerned about the bride's attire. Paul concluded in his epistle to the church at Rome, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law of the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Romans 7, verse 4. The apostle alludes to the marital relationship between husband and wife, affirming that the woman is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But, the Bible says, if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. The apostle furthermore explained that if the husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Romans 7, verses 2 and 3. The Christians in Rome, who constituted the Lord's church, were free from the law of Moses by reason of death, the death of Christ, and now were married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, the Bible said. Obviously, Christ, the Son of God. The church is the bride of Christ. In his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, Paul alluded to the marital relationship between husband and wife, then applied the examples to Christ and his church. He concluded, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." The bride of Christ, the church, is obligated to love, honor, and obey Christ, the head of the church. Concerning this relationship, Paul declared that the church is subject to Christ, as wives are to be subject to their husbands in everything. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24. There is no authority, no head, no pope, no priest, no preacher, no organization on this earth who has authority over the church. Paul made this very clear and emphatic in Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. He said, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men." As the bride of Christ, the church is subject only to the authority of Christ, the head of the church. This is part of the bride's attire, the adornment of the doctrine of Christ that must not be forgotten by the bride. Christ is the head of the church and has all authority and power in heaven and on earth. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the inspired apostle wrote, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And again to the Colossians he wrote, chapter 1, verse 18, "And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." When giving the Great Commission, Christ declared his authority in unmistakable terms, saying, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." Matthew 20:19-20. Paul reminded the church at Colossae, Christ's bride, that all things should be done by the authority of Christ. He said, "And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him." Colossians 3:17. The bride's attire must not be forgotten in worship. Christians must completely adorn themselves in doctrine and practice, lest we forget the Lord's Supper. Christ admonished his bride not to forget him. The observance of the Lord's Supper is a memorial of the supreme sacrifice of all the ages. Of this communion of the body and blood of Christ, Jesus commanded, "This do in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 10:16 and chapter 11:24-25. The first day of the week, the Lord's Day, is a day when Christ and Christians meet in worship and fellowship. Read Acts 20:7, 1 Corinthians 16:1. We must not forget singing. The matter of singing, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, as we read in Ephesians 5:19, is a most profitable spiritual exercise. The apostle furthermore declared, "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." 1 Corinthians 14:15. And again it is said, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." It will be observed that the doctrine of Christ, with which the bride is adorned, includes singing and not playing a mechanical instrument of music. To abide not in the doctrine of Christ is to worship without God. Listen, I say, are you listening? This is what the Bible says. 2 John 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and goeth onward, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God." Hath not God, with the solemn pronouncement of the apostle. Prayer, teaching, and giving, we must not forget. There the Christian did not forget the bride's attire. The Bible says, "And they continued steadfast in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers." Acts 2:42. Christians today cannot afford to forget the bride's attire. Someday, the Lord Jesus Christ shall return for his bride, the church. What about the wedding garments? Are they clean, sanctified, and without spot? To those faithful members of his church will be the welcome, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25:34. The foundation hope of the Christian's life is the second coming of Christ. Without his second coming, the first advent would be meaningless. He will return for his bride. Don't forget. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? "Yet my people have forgotten me days without number," declared the prophet in Jeremiah 2:32. "Men and nations that forget God shall be turned into hell," the Bible says, Psalms 9:17. Let not